the saints. All right, faithfulness to the cause. Let's turn in our Bibles to the book of 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter. 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter. We are talking about faithfulness to the cause. Can you say that? Faithfulness to the cause. We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. God's grace has been given to you. Let's look at the book of Romans, the 6th chapter. Romans, the 6th chapter. God's grace has been, Romans, the 5th chapter, actually. God's grace has been given to you. You are born of the Spirit of God. You are not under a law. People were under when they were not born again. You are under grace. Grace has been given to you to do things, to help in the work of God. God is doing something. We read that scripture says, we therefore as workers together with God. So you're working with God now. You're not so much trying to work for God or work to get to be accepted of God. God has accepted you, and God has given grace and put grace in your life. Look at the Romans, the 5th chapter, and the 20th verse. Moreover, the law, that's talking about sin, you know, the law, the reason that you were able to be born again and you knew you needed to be born again is because God had given a law talking to people who were not saved and telling them, if you don't measure up to this law, then you're supposed to go to hell. Amen. And that made you know that you had to be born again. You could not keep enough rules and regulations without messing up one time in order to earn right standing with God. So because of that law that entered in, it condemned you to death and let you know, I need to get saved. And then you heard the good news that Jesus Christ had died with legally all of your sins upon him, and he was buried, and God raised him from the dead and was offering you right standing with God. He offered that to you. And so this scripture here in Romans, the 5th chapter and the 20th verse says, moreover, the law entered. Why? So that the offense might abound. See, without a law telling you how bad you were, you would not have ever thought that you needed a savior. You found out from the law, my goodness, I don't measure up. God is holy, and he don't accept me unless I do all these laws. And if I miss one time, I'm supposed to go to hell, and I'm condemned. But by the time that we found out about the law that was talking about sin and that was talking about death, we were already condemned because we had already done something wrong. And we could not make it under that law, but God gave this law so people can realize, you know, I'm going to go to hell if I don't get saved. So that the law entered that the offense might abound. Read it. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Amen. So that as sin has reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through right standing with God, righteousness, unto eternal life through Jesus Christ, so our Lord. So we are not under that law that's talking about sin anymore. That law entered so that sin could abound. But where that sin abounded, grace has come in and much more abounded. And now we are born of the Spirit of God. Now look at the book of Romans, the 8th chapter. Therefore now, no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law that was talking about, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, has made me free from the law of sin and death. So now I am in another law, and this law describes me as a son of God. This law describes me as somebody who is working with God, somebody who is a son of God, like Jesus was, still on the earth, and I have a cause. There is a cause for me to be here. Now, if I get the cause right, and if I'm faithful to the cause, God had promised me rich benefits, rich blessings, rich grace on my life, if I recognize that I'm not here to do my own thing, I'm here to help God do what He's doing. And in return, I automatically can expect God to add things to me that I would otherwise be trying to make happen while I'm on the earth. So God has called me with a cause. It's a reason that I'm on the earth. It's a reason that you are here. It's a reason that Jesus has redeemed you and me. And that purpose that He left you here after you were born again was to help Him do what He has planned to do. You are God's helper. Now, 2 Corinthians 6 chapter and the first verse. 2 Corinthians 6 chapter and the first verse. We then, as workers, read it, together. See? We then, as workers together with Him, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. You have the grace of God on you. You are entered into grace. You are not under the law. You see? You're not under the law. You're not under a description of life where you're trying to get saved. You're not trying to be born again now. You are moved on into sonship. You've moved on into a place in your life where you now, like Jesus was, are on the earth with a purpose, with a cause. There's a reason that you are on this earth. If you be faithful to the cause, God will take care of you. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Faithful to the cause. Why am I here? Am I here to help God do something? Or am I here to scratch out my own way? Amen. I'm here, and it's a cause that Jesus got me born again, left me on this earth. And if I find out that I am a worker with God, helping God do what He's doing, God will take care of me. Amen. Say it, faithful to the cause. Now, when David went to give his brothers some food and he saw this big giant talking and cursing his God, and he saw all of his older brothers afraid. They were afraid of this giant that was talking against God's people. David said, "Is there not a cause?" He said, "Is there not a cause?" He said, "Now what goes to the person who defeats this giant? I mean, if a man did defeat this giant, what would he get out of it?" And they rehearsed to him the benefits. He would be automatically a rich man. The king would make him rich. The king would give him his daughter to marry. Amen. There's some benefits. If you stand up for the cause that you're here on this earth, God will reward you. And so tonight, my goal is to let you know that God wants you to give your all. He wants you to give your best for the work of God in the earth. And God promises you that he has documented specific promises to the person who will be faithful to that cause. Amen. God promises that a faithful person, if you be faithful, He'll give you a little bit. God will give you a little bit, and He'll step back and analyze how faithful you are with a little bit. Amen. Let's look at the book of Luke, the 16th chapter. Luke, the 16th chapter and the 10th verse. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust, also in much. Amen. That's a law. That's a principle, isn't it? So God will give you enough to make a difference. And then he will analyze how faithful you are with what he's given you to make a difference with. Amen. Now, I want you to look at the book of Galatians, the 6th chapter. I have two main things to tell you tonight. The first thing I'm going to tell you, and I'll show you from Scripture, is we all have an opportunity to sow into the work of God our time, our talent, and our treasures. Amen. Say so. Whenever you sow into God's work, you are planting your harvest. Amen. You can expect God to respond when you give into the work of God your time and your talent. It's not just your money. It's not just your treasures. But thank God, this is a defining moment. This is a moment where it's going to make a difference, and people who have grace on their life can make a difference. You can make a difference. Listen, you have a chance. You have an opportunity to sow into the work of God. God wants you to do your very best. And he promises you increase. He promises you abundance. He promises you. Are y'all listening to me? We're dealing with God. Now, I want you to look at this Galatians, the 6th chapter and the 10th verse. Say, I have opportunity. See, you recognize defining moments. You recognize the opportunity. And you see what's up, and then you take advantage of it. Because God has called you with a cause, and you can give your very best into the work of God. But you see it as sowing into the work of God, your time. You're sowing. When you're planting your time, and you're planting your treasure, and you're planting your talent, you can expect God to respond. Now look at the 10th verse. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of God. Now, that's talking about opportunity, but you can see in the context of this scripture, God is talking about giving and communicating of yourself, giving of your time, and giving it, sowing it. You're not just giving it away, but it is a certain kind of a giving it away, because the seed has to go into the ground and die. It has to become a part of the ground, and then it'll bring forth fruit. Amen. Look at the 6th verse. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him which teacheth in how many things? In all good things. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man saith, soweth, that shall he also reap. So it's not just your money. You have an opportunity to be faithful to the cause. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap what? Life everlasting. You know he's not talking about going to heaven. You already have eternal life in you. But that life that's in you will manifest. Now get this separated from working trying to go to heaven. No, you're not working trying to go to heaven. You're sowing and you're reaping that life that's in you manifesting. Amen. See, you're already going to go to heaven if you don't turn around. But you have an opportunity to give your best and sow your very best. Be faithful. Now, let's look at the book of Ephesians, the 4th chapter and the 16th verse. Tonight, what I'm talking to you about is faithfulness to the cause. And I've said the cause is we are working with God to help God to do what he is doing. Now, the first thing that I said is you have an opportunity to give and to give your best. And God wants you to give your very best for the work of God. God said, he that is faithful in little is faithful also in much. Ephesians, the 4th chapter. Everybody has enough to make a difference. Amen. You have enough to make a difference. Ephesians 4 and 16. Praise God. From, y'all see it? 16. From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which, read it, every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of, read it, every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Amen. That means that every one of us has enough to make a difference. Amen. God has given you grace, and God will give you a little bit, and he'll step back and see how faithful you are with a little bit. And God has promised rewards to the faithful. Amen. God in the Proverbs has said that he will increase you if you're faithful. God will cause abundance to come to you if you're faithful. God will cause favor to be on you if you are faithful. You have enough grace on your life to make a difference. And every one of us has grace that when you give your very best to the work of God, see, you have an opportunity to sow. You have an opportunity. This is a defining moment for you. It is a defining moment for this church. It's a defining moment in your life. You have opportunity to sow. You got enough to make a difference. Amen. And you're going to sow your time. You're going to sow. Give your very best time. Because you know you're dealing with God. And God has made promises. We are helping God do what God is doing. The cause that God has you on this earth, in this church, is because there is a cause that's bigger than either one of us. There is a call on us that's bigger than either one of us. But all of us are involved, and if you give your very best and allow yourself to get tired, you allow yourself to give your very best of your time, your very best of your treasures, your very best of your talent, because God has given you grace. God will cause increase in your individual life. God will cause favor on your life. God will cause abundance. Amen. Now, you're there at Ephesians 4:16. I just read that, didn't I? Let's read it one more time. Ready? Read. From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by what? That which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Whatever love is leading you to do, do it with all your heart. You be under the influence of love. You're going to see something that you are disturbed about. And that stirring is going to be love. Lead. The Spirit of God is in you to effect you to fulfill a need. The Spirit of God is in you, and he will stir you and make you very uncomfortable about a problem that needs to be solved. And when you recognize the problem that bothers you most of all, that's your call. That's what you're supposed to be solving. That's your call. That's how you recognize your call. You remember Paul said, Lord, what would you have me to do? He got off the ground. He was just in error. But one thing about Paul, when Paul did something, he did it all the way. He didn't half step. If he thought Christians were wrong, he killed them. Kill them. Kill them all. But God said, that's my man. That man, if he believes something, he's going to go all the way. And it, you feel good when you're getting tired, when you're giving your very best and you leave it all on the field. I mean, you don't even feel right. Done play the championship game and you come back and not tired. You feel guilty when you go to the locker room, but when you go and the mud is in your helmet from eating mud, it really don't matter if you gave your best. But God will not let you give your best and not respond to your family. Listen, what you do, your children gonna get blessed by. I look at my daddy. I saw that man give his best. And then I look around.
All his children are blessed. And his children are blessed. And everybody who come and help him is blessed. I'm telling you, there is a cause. And you give your very best of your time and your effort. Give it all to God. You sow it. You have an opportunity to sow, not just your money, but sow your best for God. This is a defining moment in the history of your life where you have a chance to be faithful with a little. And God is going to watch and see how you use the little bit of grace that's upon your life and you give it all to God faithfully. You can make a difference. And God is going to increase you. God is going to cause abundance to come to you and your family, and favor going to be on your children. Amen. They're going to be blessed because what grandmama did, even if you died before Jesus come back, the favor of God going to visit your next generation and the next generation and the next generation. It all depends on what you do with this moment. Amen. I've said you got an opportunity to sow. I said God wants you to give your best. And I said God promises you increase, abundance, and favor. Hallelujah. Have y'all found Ephesians 4? Let's read it one more time. You ready? Read it. 16. From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by what? That which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Now, I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians 12. You got it? 1 Corinthians 12, 13. Are y'all listening to that night? Did y'all getting this? Oh, okay. 1 Corinthians 12, 13. Ready? For by one Spirit are we, read it, are we all baptized. See, look at me. That's why I keep saying nobody is more important than anybody else. Because God's Spirit is in you. And when his Spirit came in you, he affects you a way that he don't affect other people. But however he's affecting you, that's called the grace that's upon your life. He affected Paul differently than he affects other people. Paul said, the way he affected me, he made me a minister. The way he affects you, there's another problem that bothers you that you're supposed to be solving. If it bothers you, it's something you're supposed to be doing. And God needs that grace on your life because you have the grace to fix what you see wrong. See, the grace will affect by God being in you. He affects you a certain way. And certain things bother you that don't even bother anybody else. You think everybody's backslidden. No, they're not backslidden. God is bothering them about something else that they have the grace to fix. And if it bothers you, that says, oh, that's what I'm supposed to be doing. That's the grace on you. And God says, I need you to supply that to the body. And you need to do it with all your might. You can't. You don't want a half step. You want to, anything you do for God, you want to do it all the way. If God asks you for some nets, don't throw him some tow-up nets. Don't throw him a tow-up net. If he said cast your nets, throw all of them on there, the good ones, because you're going to need the best nets. See, Peter messed up. He said cast your nets. Peter got an old raglan net and threw it over there, one that'll break if, you know, he wasn't expecting much. Oh, my goodness. God says, you're supposed to expect a lot when you don't see anything. If you work like God is finna hit your net with a whole lot, you make God, it's a compliment to God when you work like you expect him to respond. If he give you a little bit, and you say, well, that's a little bit, this is just enough. No, you treat that little bit like you are expecting God to make a big, 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 big amount of fish hit your net. Don't throw God no tow-up nets. If he said throw out your nets, It don't matter if you've been fishing all night long. If the master is saying, I'm calling y'all to give your best now, you're supposed to get ready for a divine payday. Y'all didn't hear me. I said, your part is to get ready for it. It's God's part to make them fish hit it. Who are we to say, God, we've been fishing all night long and we ain't caught nothing yet. But it ain't ready. It ain't time to say that. If he's saying cast your nets, he's saying give your very best. It's time for you to get ready for a divine payday. Give your best and help God do what he's doing. And he's going to honor your family. He'll make a judge change his mind. I know what I'm talking about. It was one little girl. She came. I said, come over to the office and work for me. She crying. You trying to leave, trying to move, trying to go out of town. I said, no, you don't have to. You don't have to go out of town to make it. It don't matter if they hiring folk here or not. You got a covenant with God. You don't have to go to Atlanta to make it. You don't have to go to Dallas. You can try. I'm trying to go to Dallas. I'm selling all the stuff, trying to get a ticket, trying to live with people because she thinks she can make it over there. I said, no, you saved, sister. You in the kingdom. And you don't have to go nowhere because God said, I'll bless you in the city and I'll bless you in the field. I said, I'm going to tell you how to do it. I said, come over here and you spend 3 hours in this office working. Okay. I wanted to buy her a submarine. I didn't even give her enough to buy the submarine sandwich. She worked 3 hours. She worked like she was working for God. I told my mom, I said, mark that girl. And I told her, I said, I don't even have much money to give you out of my pocket. But God going to pay you. I said, you work like you're working for God. Don't work like you're working for Pastor Franklin. Work, do this work. Send these CDs out like you're working for God. And I say, you will get that job you've been asking for. She's been working, trying to get a job. I said, come work over here. Put your hand in that anointing. Stick your hand in that anointing. I said, it's an anointing on me. It's an anointing on this ministry. It's a cause. It's a reason that we have in church. We ain't just having church. We teaching people how to walk free. Glory to God. See, it's a reason that this church is established. We didn't just say, okay, we're going to have a church. No, God has a reason. Somebody said faithful to the cause. There's a cause. Amen. And before I knew it, somebody had to tell me because I hadn't seen her. She got the job. She got a good job. She got a real good job. Yesterday I saw her. She said, I cried when they told me I had the job. I said to myself, I could have cried the day you came over here because I knew you had the job when you obeyed the Spirit. It's just a matter of time. She said, I had my first day today. And she had come up here and prayed one time. She had prayed for specific hours. You know what she said? She said, I set my own hours. The woman told me to set my own hours. And weekends off, I set my own hours where I wanted to work. And she make it real good. Amen. 1 Corinthians 12, 13. Well, Pastor, you know, that's not going to happen to me. Well, I'm telling you, the rewards for faithfulness are documented in the Bible. And God tells us in Proverbs, the 13th chapter and the 4th verse, he promises you increase. In Proverbs 22:29, he promises you promotion. In Proverbs 10:4, he promises you abundance. In Psalms 101:6, he promises you favor. Look at your neighbor and say, we're dealing with God, this almighty God. He owns everything, you know, and he cannot lie. All right, 1 Corinthians 12:13. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. See, nobody's more important than anybody else. Everybody got the same spirit in them. And so when you know who you are, you don't have to let other people, you don't have to talk to other Christians about who you are in the Lord. You need to talk to yourself about who you are in the Lord. And you need to make sure that the devil knows that you know. You don't need to let other Christians know you know who you are. You need to help other Christians know who they are. Because if I tell you how good I am, that you won't want to hear how good I am if you're not that good too. So I need to know how good I am and convince you that you are just like Jesus. I need to talk to myself about who I am and talk to the devil so the devil can know that I know who I am. And when I talk to you, I got to encourage you that you are in Christ and that you have been raised up together and that God thinks that way about, come on, say, you. So when I talk to you, I need to build you up. Not to let you know how good I am, because I just need to know that. And the devil needs to know that I know that. But when I talk to you, I need to let you know that I believe that you are in the image of Jesus. What good is for you to know that I am in Christ? When I open my mouth, I need to be letting you know that I believe that you are raised up with him. And when I open my mouth, I need to let the devil know that I know that I am one with the Lord. And then this grace that's on my life, I need to live my life not trying to make sure that I'm taken care of. I need to make sure that God's work is taken care of, because God can be trusted. God gonna do his part. Hallelujah. Somebody say, we all are baptized into one body. See, all of us. Listen, 14 verse. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I'm not the head, the hand, I'm not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I'm not the eye, I'm not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God, come on, set. He's arranged. Say, he's arranged. God has, somebody say, I'm in my set place. I'm in my set place. God has set the members. Come on, say it. Every one of them. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, I'm in my set place. But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it has pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of thee. No. Much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble, come on, say, are necessary. Tell your neighbor, even if I don't even look that important, I am necessary. Now tell your other neighbor, say, you are necessary. All right, now, 1 Peter 2 and 15. 1 Peter 2, 15. God is doing something, and God has you here to help God do what he's doing. Don't look at how little you're beginning. Don't look at how little or insignificant what you have to give seems. You already know you are necessary. But God just wants you to give your very best of your time, your very best of your service and your talent and your effort. And he wants you to give your very best of your treasures, because it takes money. But God got some money. Say, God got some money. God has some money. Amen. Amen. You might not have much money, but God is going to increase your money. Amen. Y'all didn't hear me. Y'all think I'm playing. Y'all think I'm just up here playing. Y'all think I'm playing with y'all. I said, you might not have much money, but God is going to increase your money. Hallelujah. He's going to increase your time. He's going to, anything that you give wholeheartedly to God, God can see it. Amen. Even if you have just little, two little mites, if you give it, God's going to say, I saw that. Hallelujah. So you have grace. Now, where are we now? First Peter 2:15. You got it? 1 Peter 2:15. Let's look at 2 Peter. 2nd chapter and the 5th verse. 2nd chapter and the 5th verse. You got it? All right. All right. You ready? All right. Read it. You also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer. Say, to offer. Now say, why are we a spiritual house built up a holy priesthood? Now this is the reason. Say it. To offer up spiritual sacrifices. Read it. Acceptable to God by Jesus. Say, by Jesus. Look at me. Look at me. Jesus is in you. And you let Jesus do what he's doing inside of you. What you're going to do are going to be spiritual sacrifices. And then you're going to do it by Jesus who's in you. He's in you so he can do some stuff through you. See? And these spiritual sacrifices that are documented in the Bible. Spiritual sacrifices are in the Bible. It tells you what God put Jesus in you for Jesus to do through you. One of those spiritual sacrifices is to obey them that has rule over you, because they watch over your soul. He said, with such sacrifice, God is well pleased. That's a spiritual sacrifice. It's spiritual. See, Jesus is in you to make you like a sheep. Amen. And he said, these are spiritual sacrifices. Another spiritual sacrifice is for you to give of your substance and to communicate and to give into the kingdom of God. That's a spiritual sacrifice, because Jesus is in you to move you to do that spiritual sacrifice. Another spiritual sacrifice that the Bible talks about in the book of Philippians, he said, if I pour myself out as a drink offering for your faith, that means if I, he's talking about a spiritual sacrifice where Jesus is in you to pour yourself out in ministry for the sake of somebody else, faith growing. Paul talks about that when he said, if I pour myself out, this is a drink offering where you just pour yourself out for the sake of somebody else's faith growing strong. Amen. It's another sacrifice that is talking about communicating and giving all kinds of things to the work of the ministry. A sacrifice that's talking about is sowing into the life of somebody else who's ministering to you. Oh, see, Pastor Franklin. No. See, these sacrifices are by Jesus. In every one of these sacrifices, God responds to it. Paul says, but my God shall supply all your needs. Today, after the 11:30 class at the church that I go to, you know, I just had this desire. We had clothes, and I said, wait a minute, I believe God wants me to pray for everybody, prosperity. You know, I want to lay hands on everybody and use my faith. I had faith to speak over everybody for money, material prosperity in their life. But, you know, I put it together. I was not thinking about this, but they had just got through whispering to each other. Whispering to each other. You know what they're whispering about? Let's all get together, because he's been giving of himself. We all asking. Y'all, we asking that. You know, if you don't have it, fine. But we just asking. If you have it, just give this much, because we want to bless him for Christmas. And I said, I know why God telling me this. You cannot bless me without God blessing you. Amen. So that's a spiritual sacrifice. Jesus had them doing that. And Jesus had me stirring my heart. I wasn't even thinking about anything that they were doing. Then I put it together. I said, oh, I know. This is Philippians 4:19 clicking in. Not that I desired a gift from you, but I just wanted, I was glad that they was doing that because there was fruit that they were sowing that might abound to their account. But, then I said, but. See, that was all surrounded, all in a circle. I said, you gave me this material stuff. You know, this material stuff ain't wisdom. This stuff that they gave me was not anointing. They gave me just money. But I said, but my God shall supply all your need, not just your money, according to his riches in glory. So these are spiritual sacrifices. God has called, God put you in, put Jesus in you, and Jesus in you is moving you to give your best. Walk that thing out. Give your very best of your time. Give, because you have an opportunity. And pretty soon you're going to see those branch leaders stand before you. They're going to tell you why they feel that they supposed, that everybody's supposed to be involved. And I'm here telling you tonight that God has called you to a cause. And this cause is bigger than us. The vision is so clear. God still, 3 days ago, 2 or 3 days ago, God reminded me, the reason that he has us here is that when we teach people and they began to walk in the reality of that light, when they began to actually walk in the light that God has done for them, you really don't have to key or major on giving them money. They can go get their own money. You don't really have to major on them trying to get off of an addiction. Their stuff will fall off of them. We have seen it over and over and over. When we get a person walking in the light, we don't have to have too many marriage counselings. That marriage gets fixed because they're walking in the light of what God has already done. If we can teach a person to not walk after his flesh and not walk after her feelings, not walk after what it seems like, but to walk and hold your righteous course in the evidence of what God has already done, the light will start shining and they'll come right on out. Amen. God has called us to minister that to people and teach that to people. And if you be faithful, doing your part, using the gifts that you have to cause God's work to go forward. I am telling you, this message came in about in a moment, just like that. Joshua came to me, called me. I was talking to him in Grambling, and I hung the phone up. I said something to Minister Adrenia, and then, you know, God got involved. I got a pencil and I scribbled it down real quick, and that is part of what God shared with me that day, what I just shared with you. Number one, you have an opportunity to sow your best for God. Number two, God promises benefits to those who will be faithful to a cause. Number three, we are not here by accident. God has you here with Jesus in you so that you can help God do what God is doing. And God promises, I'm going to add to you if you consciously make up, you consciously have in your mind that you can lose yourself in the work of God. God will give you the life that he has for you. Jesus said, you got to lose your own life if you're going to find the life that God has for you. If a grain of corn don't fall into the ground and die, it remains alone. But if it dies, it's going to bring forth much fruit. This is the last scripture for tonight. Amen. Ask your neighbor, did you get this? Hallelujah. Deuteronomy 8. Hallelujah. Faithfulness to the cause. All right. Deuteronomy 8:18. Ready? Read it. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that gives thee power to get wealth, so that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto your fathers, as it is this day. God is doing something, and he has privileged you and me to help God do what he is doing. Amen. And as you are faithful with little, God will make you ruler over much. You help God do what he's doing. He's going to turn around and shine the light on you so that you and your heart's desires will come to pass. Amen. Stand up to your feet. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. All right. While you're standing there, just look at me. You have enough grace to make a difference. You have enough that when you give of what you have, it'll make a difference.